Blog Talk Radio.
Live special NFL Roundtable edition of Sports Talk Soup. I am your host, Vito Chirko, and on with me tonight is my co-host from the Chirko and Jones Show on CST Radio, the University of Detroit Mercy student radio station. Carrick, welcome to the show. Glad to have you on tonight.
How's it going, Vito?
And also on with us tonight, Carrick, is my good friend Brennan Kudla, who is the voice of Elma College Hoops. Brendan, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Zeke. Great to have me on.
Well, guys, let's first start with some NFL playoff races out there. Looking first at the NFC East division and focusing on the Redskins-Cowboys matchup on Sunday Night Football this week, the final week of the NFL season. Now, guys, the Redskins are at 9-6, so if they win, they are in as NFC East division winners, or as the Cowboys and G-Men need some help at 8-7. So obviously the Cowboys have to win this game to have the chance to win the NFC East division. Now, Brendan, first with you on this one. Do you believe that RG3 and the Skins will get past Romo and the boys on Sunday night?
No, I don't, V. I really think that the Cowboys are going to come out and Tony Romo's going to shut down all the critics and make it to the playoffs and knock off the rookie Robert Griffin III. I looked at a couple stats earlier today. I don't know if you've noticed this, but Tony Romo's thrown for over 1,000 more yards than Robert Griffin. And I really think some of that inexperience, they're going to shut down the running game. Like DeMarcus Ware is going to help shut down the running game and force RG3 to try to throw up a couple errant passes and maybe pick one off and really spell the difference there for the Cowboys.
Now, Carrick, do you share the same sentiment as Brendan regarding this NFC East matchup on Sunday night?
I don't. I watched the Dallas-New Orleans game last weekend. I was very displeased with the way Dallas played. I felt that they could have come back and won that game, and they blew their chances. So I'm going to have to go with RG3 and Alfred Morris in that game.
Yeah, how about that great rookie combo for the Skins this year, Brendan?
Yeah, Alfred Morris has been an absolute tank this year, along with Robert Griffin III. I really don't feel that he's 100% healthy, and that could affect him and the full Redskins team because he's not 100%. That's definitely a big hit there for the Redskins.
Now, Brendan, you also believe, as Carrick does, that the Cowboys gave one away last week against the Saints, one they should have won, and one that could have had them in line to win the division this week. And now maybe they blew their chance to do so by losing last week against the Saints, who are not going to the postseason this year.
Yeah, they really let that opportunity slip by. But I really think they're going to use that as a motivation and rallying cry this week because in the end of things, them losing that game is almost irrelevant because if they win this week, they're in the playoffs once again. They're back in the playoff picture.
Now, Carrick, what do you think about the G-Men's chances right now at 8-7? obviously have to win, and especially if the Skins do. Well, if the Skins do, like I said, they're in anyways. But what do you think about the G-Men's chances of making the postseason still, right now at 8-7?
You know what? I think they got a tough game. They got a rivalry game last week of the season. I don't think their chances are bad, but I wouldn't give them a good chance either, because I only think only one team in that division is getting in. I think that's the Redskins. Philadelphia is going to have Michael Vick most likely playing, and he's probably going to be playing as an audition for his job next year.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think if they do get in, they can just pencil themselves into the Super Bowl right now. It's all said and done. Which is, it's too bad, because I'm sick and tired of seeing the Giants in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but just because they've been, you know, a good team throughout the postseason in recent memory doesn't mean that they have the talent on their roster this year to do it once again. I mean, are you basing it off of that, or basing it off of the talent level they possess this season?
Well, I'm basing it off the fact the last time they made the playoffs, they won the Super Bowl. And you got to look at the – you know, both their big rookies, Wilson and Randall, have played well as of late.
Mm-hmm.
And Victor Cruz has really turned it on as of late. You know, Wilson's been a spark plug as a returner for him late in the season. And Eli Manning is a very good quarterback. He's threw for over 3,000 yards this season. And Bradshaw, you know, if he runs for 90-some yards on Sunday, he's going to have 1,000 yards rushing this season. So,
well, they stunk it up against the Ravens last week, who looked miserable the week before. And then the Ravens with Joe Flacco, who's been one of the worst QBs all season long, beats them as bad as they did last week. I mean, what does that say about the G-Men going into this must-win game against the Eagles, who, you know what, maybe they will play spoiler in Week 17 and live up to expectations once and for all. Too late in the season for them in terms of their playoff chances, but like I said, still the chance to play playoff spoiler against their division rival, the New York Giants.
Well, you know, Baltimore is a good team, so don't think that them, you know, getting beaten by Baltimore is bad, because Baltimore's going to the playoffs. I don't think they'll play spoiler either way. I really think that that Washington's the only team getting in there. I just don't see it. With all the other good teams, you know, there's only two spots left. I'd really like to see Minnesota get in. I think that'd be an interesting story. But if you're Minnesota, you got to think, why don't we tank that game for a little bit of a better draft pick? So it'll be interesting.
Honestly, with Vic back, and if he's healthy and effective, along with LeSean McCoy back now for this final game of the NFL season, I see the Eagles, Brendan, playing spoiler. How about you?
I'm not sure if I see the Eagles playing spoiler. I can see the Giants winning that game, but I really don't see the Giants making it in the playoffs whatsoever. They need a lot of help, and I really can't overlook the fact that the Chicago Bears, if they beat the Lions and the Vikings...
Which they're going to do, right, guys?
If the Bears beat the Lions, I'm just going to pencil that in. Say the Bears beat the Lions, that completely eliminates the Giants from the playoffs, and I really don't see the Giants sneaking in the back door this year. I think their luck ran out last year when they won the Super Bowl.
Well, you know what? At least the Patriots are making the playoffs, though, right? I mean, that's a good sign for the G-Men if they get in. Because if the G-Men end up in the Super Bowl playing the Pats, then forget it. It's already over. We already know who's winning, right?
Yeah, definitely the Giants do have the Patriots number, but they just need too much luck, too much in the back door. And really, I cannot see the Giants making the playoffs this year, no matter what happens. They've been so inconsistent throughout the year, I can't even count on them making a deep playoff run. Just based off the inconsistency, first at quarterback Eli Manning, definitely not consistent this year. And even Victor Cruz has come on of late. He's definitely disappeared in some games throughout the year.
But he's been a Pro Bowler, so you can't slight him for that. Now, they do not have, though, the luck of a rookie passer. And this has been the year of the rookie passer. And I believe the Redskins will get in with theirs in RG3. Colts will do the same as a wild card team in the AFC, out of the South Division in the AFC. And then also the Seahawks will get in and possibly will win the NFC West with their rookie passer in Russell Wilson out of Wisconsin and NC State. Great season out of nowhere, guys, as an undersized QB who is not highly heralded coming out of college because of his lack of size. And actually had to beat out Matt Flynn in training camp to win the starting job. Now, Pete Carroll gave it to him, surprisingly, a very bold move by him out of training camp to give it to the rookie, Russell Wilson. But Wilson has made Carroll look like a genius this year. Now, does he continue that in Week 17 and get the Seahawks into the playoffs as division winners, Brendan? Your take on that?
I see Seattle winning, for sure. I believe Seattle's got exactly what it takes, especially being at home against a less formidable St. Louis team. Russell Wilson will definitely take the lead, and they'll definitely win that game and head off into the playoffs on a high note.
Carrick, Seahawks or 49ers? Who do you have winning the NFC West?
Seahawks. They just got a good team and a good stadium. You know, I mean, 40-plus points in their last three games. I think San Francisco still makes the playoffs regardless, right?
Yes, they're still in either way. Both teams are either way.
Well,
correct.
Then, I mean, you know, it's obviously San Francisco is a better team than Seattle by standings, but I think Seattle in a head-to-head matchup again would beat up on the 49ers. I think Seattle could very easily win the Super Bowl this year.
Now, you say that because of what, Carrick? Give us your reasoning, please.
You know, just their play the last 3 weeks, they've really, really shown some valor. Number two in rushing yards in the league, fifth in opposing passing yards. I like the way Russell Wilson's played. They played well against contending teams this year, besides their one loss to San Francisco. The other losses came in division and against Detroit and Miami. They beat Chicago by five in overtime. They beat New England by one. They beat Green Bay by two. And they beat Dallas by 20. So they're pretty good head to head with playoff teams.
And perhaps Wilson's best game of the whole entire year, guys, came last week against the division rival 49ers. Perhaps the greatest defense in the league right now, and he threw four TD passes against them, Brendan. Talk about that a little bit, and his improvement throughout this season as starting QB for the Seahawks.
Yeah, Russell Wilson, he just keeps on improving. He keeps proving Pete Carroll right by making the hard decision to put a rookie over the guy that they went out into free agency and paid a lot of money for. And I think Seattle's going to come in as a wild card team because San Francisco has to lose to the Arizona Cardinals in order for Seattle to overtake the division. And I really
can't
see San Francisco.
And the mighty Arizona Cardinals, guys, with Brian Hoyer starting, the former Michigan State Spartan QB. Good luck with that.
Yeah, I can't see Brian Hoyer overtaking that big-time San Francisco defense. That should definitely get San Francisco, not dare I say easy victory over the Arizona Cardinals, but as easy as it gets in the NFL.
Now, guys, if both teams lose, though, 49ers are helped out by that tie against the Rams from earlier this season. So just think about that playing a factor.
Yeah, that tie was a huge game in the year. You don't see too many of those in the NFL. I didn't think that would help them out at the end of the year, but if both teams lose, that could definitely pay dividends just by holding the game out and having a tie with the St. Louis Rams.
Mm-hmm. And the Seahawks play the Rams this week, actually, Carrick. And you got to believe the Seahawks are winning that one, right?
Oh, the Seahawks are going to tear them up. I just want to know why we still have ties in professional sports. Not soccer.
And in the NFL,
soccer,
right? The best professional sports league in America right now, besides for baseball, because I love baseball. But the NFL is tops right now.
Yeah, I don't understand. You would think that it's so anticlimactic. There's no parity in a tie. Oh, hey, you know what? You didn't get it done in 15 minutes. Here's a tie. What is this, Britain? I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense. It upset me a few years ago when the Lions tied the Eagles because I didn't know what was going on. I think if you guys remember, Donovan McNabb didn't know what was going on.
Didn't know the rules for OT. Yeah, you are right.
I mean, you know, they tried to make overtime more, you know, fun in the regular season now because they've adopted almost the same rules for the playoffs as they have in college. Why don't they just adopt the college rules, admit that college did something right? I mean, we finally got a college football playoff. you know, admit that they have the rules right.
Yeah, the tie really has no room in the NFL. Makes no sense. Makes no sense in any kind of professional sports league out there right now, as every game should have a winner. We're not talking about CYO Sports and St. Mary's Soccer, Carrick. Sorry
like
to offend you maybe a little bit, but...
I don't, you know, I don't like ties there. I want to play for keeps. We play for penalty kicks, and my team, I don't, I'm not doing no many ties anymore. I'm going to call the league commissioner and let her know. No ties.
And now, Kudla, you're not a guy for ties, right? You're against that too, correct?
I'm against ties for the most part, but I do see a reason in the NFL why I would have an acceptable reason for a tie. At that late in the game, that much brutal hitting and contact throughout the game, why not give the guys, end in a tie, let it go. You don't want to get too many guys injured. Concussions are already rampant and other injuries all over the NFL. So I really don't see a tie ending in the worst way. Yeah, it stinks. It's like you're kissing your sister, but in the grand scheme of things, you're trying to save people from injuries and hurting them in the long term. So I'll take it for what it is. Just leave the ties there.
The NFL is all about hitting, physical contact, and injuries. You can't totally avoid injuries. It's going to happen because football is a hard-hitting game.
That's very
true.
There's
always going to be concussions.
Late in the game, when guys are tired and injured and maybe a little bit dehydrated, the risk for injury is a lot higher. And that's one thing that I know the NFL has taken into consideration is the head-to-head contact and the injuries that are occurring and the more rampant concussions. So I guess they could keep this rule and just say they're preserving it so less injuries do take place. And if they were to change it, maybe it would ruffle some feathers of some former NFL players and just started a whole other argument with the whole, due to injuries and concussions.
And maybe concussions and severe injuries, guys, are more prevalent when fatigue sets in late into games, fourth quarter, and OT. However, that shouldn't be a concern. Okay, there's safety rules out there they can institute. But the OT, regardless, should have a winner. Always should have a winner.
Here, I got two ways to fix that. Rule number one, they should stop being babies. Okay? If OT makes people not perform at their highest level and people are getting injured, why don't more people have heart attacks during overtime in hockey? But if you put me on ice skates and ran me up and down for 2 hours, I'd have a heart attack. You put me in the whole extra game sometimes. The other way to fix it, have a field goal kickoff. Whoever kicks the longest field goal wins. That doesn't hurt anybody.
Well, they can adopt the same policy as college football. NCAA is what my addition would be. Just put the ball on the 25-yard line and let them keep going back at it. That'll definitely eliminate some sort of time frame and definitely limit the amount of injuries taking place, completely taking out special teams and other types of plays in overtime that the players may be fatigued during.
Yeah, end result, there has to be a winner. Every game has to have a winner. There should be no ties in the NFL or in any professional sport league. Now, guys, let's move on to a maybe more relevant topic out there regarding Week 17 in the NFL season, and that is AP guys. All day, Adrian Peterson going for the single-season rushing yards record. Right now, with a 189 on the ground, he needs only 102 to break 2,000 on the year, as well as 208 yards to break Eric Dickerson's record for single-season rushing yards. Now, guys, do you believe that is attainable for AP in the final week of this season against division rival Green Bay Packers? And they are in Minnesota at the Metrodome as well, so we have to take that into consideration, guys. So, Brendan, first a few on this one. What's your take?
I think Adrian Peterson is going to get the 2,000 yards but won't be able to catch Eric Dickerson. I really think that they're going to need to start passing the ball and really count on Christian Ponder to step up and throw the ball because they're going to be playing catch-up against this Green Bay Packers team. Aaron Rodgers and this high-flying Packer offense, they're not going to let up, and they're going to need to throw the ball in order to catch up, and maybe if they do get a lead, that's when Peterson will get the chance to get the 2,000 yards, but he will not have enough carries or yards to catch Eric Dickerson.
Now, also, he did rush for 210 the last time he played against the Pack. However, only has rushed for 204% of his games in the NFL also. But what's your take regardless, Carrick?
I feel like they're going to try to pound the rock early and get him his touches so he can get up to the 208 yards to catch Dickerson. But after the Packers' offense gets on the field and scores a couple quick touchdowns, they're going to need to be playing catch-up and really pass the ball in order to get back in the game.
So you think the Pack take the early lead, forcing the hand of Leslie Frazier to go with pass and pass-heavy offense?
That is for sure, V.
Now, Carrick, your take on the outcome of this one and Peterson's chances of breaking Eric Dickerson's single-season rushing yards record.
I don't think he can catch Dickerson. I don't think that's plausible for it to happen. I do think he'll get to 2,000. I think here's a way it does happen. The Packers, realistically, do not need to win this game. It doesn't matter to them. They can go into the playoffs however they want. They're the Packers. If they decide we're going to lay down, AP's going to break the record because the Vikings are just going to give AP the ball every play. The other way he gets it, say AP gets an 80-yard rushing touchdown early in the game, that's going to allow him to possibly get 200 yards. He only needs 120 after that run. 120, that's not that far away from the Green Bay's rushing yard, which is 108.7 yards. That's only, what, 10 more yards after his one big touchdown, 110 more yards after his one big touchdown run? It could happen. I just don't think it's going to. I don't think that the Green Bay Packers are going to lay down. That's not the type of football the Green Bay Packers play.
Yep. And Rodgers is playing great football, perhaps the best football of this season, all season long right now, after what he did last week. Great performance in about the last 2-3 weeks now, and the best performances of this season for him. Now going up against the Minnesota Vikings, who I think can be passed against too. Okay, they're not an elite defense, obviously. And the Green Bay Packers can be elite offensively. So perhaps poses a bad matchup for the Vikings. And then if Rodgers takes an early lead, a big one too, in Minnesota against the Vikes, then it does force the hand of Frazier and makes Ponder have to pass the ball probably more than the Vikes want to, which then also causes AP not to get as many touches. And that's my concern for the Vikings and Peterson and his chances of breaking Dickerson's single-season rushing yards record on Sunday against the Pack. But the Vikes look like they still will get in, obviously. Now, do they have a chance at winning this game, though, Carrick? Because it seems like you don't really think that at all, that the Pack are going to run away with this one on Sunday.
Oh, no, I think that's a winnable game for him. I just don't think that Peterson's going to break that record. I think it's not close enough, and there's just too many yards to be had in one game. Now, I think they could beat them. It just depends how everybody plays and how the Packers play. The Packers, did the Packers beat them the first time around? Yes, they did. They didn't beat them bad, though, in only 23-14, so it's possible.
I don't see the Vikings in the playoffs at all, actually. I see the Chicago Bears taking on the Lions here at Ford Field, and the Bears rolling over the Lions since the Lions have been playing some uninspired football of late. And then I really see the Packers winning this game and making sure they get that first round bye with a victory, and that'll knock the Vikings right out of this playoff picture. So they're going to need a big day out of Peterson and Ponder in order to beat the Packers and really just give them a chance to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I think it's bad circumstances for the Vikes having to win this game almost certainly to get into the postseason. Okay, in the final week of the season against the great 11-4 Aaron Rodgers-led Green Bay Packers. And they're getting back their defensive players now. Clay Matthews is back. He should be playing at a high level of football now. Rodgers definitely is. They got these receivers, all these weapons too, so he can spread it all over the football field in the passing game, and the Vikes, I just don't think, stand much of a chance unless they get AP going real good and going early, really, really good on the ground. Now, can he do that against them? Yeah, but it is an uphill battle against the Packers, even at home. And then, like you said, Brendan, you have to take into account that the Bears are playing the lowly Lions in Week 17, in a game they must win to get into the postseason ahead of the Vikes, perhaps. And I see them doing that as well, rolling over the Lions very easily. Now, Carrick, your take on that Bears matchup against the Lions in this final week of the NFL season. Who do you have
Lions,
and why?
The Lions better lose the game if they want Manti Te'o. The Lions just need to lose. Stafford shouldn't even play. the Lions, the season is over. There's no reason to bother. It's in the Lions' best interest to lose. So I have to hope the Chicago Bears run over them, and I think the Chicago Bears are trying to make the playoffs. So they need to run over the Lions if they want to make the playoffs. It's that simple. I mean, one team needs to lose, one team needs to win, and the Packers should win big because the Lions are playing uninspired. Half the team probably doesn't want to be there. I don't think Ndamukong Suh's going to be coming back next year.
Why would you say that, Kerry?
He doesn't like playing here. You can tell. He wouldn't act up so much if he doesn't like playing here.
He's not that type of player. He's a dirty football player.
I wouldn't call him dirty. I like dirty players. Dirty players are fun. Suh is – I just get a feeling.
Well, he's fun if he's sacking guys and getting to the quarterback left and right. He hasn't done that this season or in 2011. He really hasn't done much since his rookie season in the league.
When people get their throats stepped on, that's fun to me. That's fun. It gets me going. Doesn't keep me up at night.
That's not safe, though. That's not the proper way to play football. That's why we have injury concerns in the league, and that's why he's considered a dirty player.
That's why I don't play football. But that's besides the point. I've heard Lenny and Foster talk about it. Heard guys in ESPN talk about it. I don't think he wants to play for us. I think he wants to be in a major market, or he wants to be somewhere where he can play his game because, you know, he's been suspended multiple times and fined multiple times for his play here. Maybe he can go somewhere where he won't at least get fined. Maybe there's a team that'll just let the NFL discipline him and let him do whatever he wants.
But he's not helping the Lions or anybody to win games in the near future, whoever he plays for next year, by curb stomping guys and trying to break guys' necks. That's not winning football.
Well, look at Alabama. They break a lot of necks, and they win some football games.
Now, Brendan, what is your stance on this one?
I feel like Ndamukong Suh should stay a Lion. I feel like he'll be back next year. Yeah, he needs to get his act under control. What he does is not good football, and that's why the Lions are having the reputation that they are having. Dealing with guys like Aaron Berry, who get kicked off of teams, Nick Fairley, who gets in trouble, along with Michael LaShore, legal trouble. Yeah, Ndamukong Suh really he has this forefront. He gets all the media. He was the big guy that the Lions went after. And it was his play that really starts the Lions' bad boys image that they have, just like the old Pistons, except we can't back it up with our play.
Yeah, we're not winning, though.
Yeah, we're not winning, and that's not how we should be playing football. If we're a low-level team, a sub-500 team, we can't be playing dirty football like that. If you're winning, it definitely gets brushed off to the side. And you're winning football games, that's more important. But right now we're playing dirty and losing. That's not a recipe for a good combination.
And we're one of the most penalized teams in the whole entire NFL right now. And we have been for so many years in a row now, you know, for nearly a decade or decade plus under all of these head coaches, including Jim Schwartz right now, which tells me he's not getting the job done. He is not a good enough disciplinarian to get his guys on task to win football games because they have not produced enough wins in the win column this year. Only 4 on the season after having enough talent coming into the year, guys, to win at least 9 games, I think, in the worst case. Now, what's your take on that, Kerrick?
I don't really know. I don't. The thing I'm more concerned about is, did you see what Dominic Raiola said today? Did you see that?
Tell us. No, I don't know. I didn't see it.
He called Henry Milton, plays for the Bears, made the Pro Bowl, 41 tackles, 6 sacks. Not the best stats. He called him a clown. Now, if you're Dominic Raiola and you're old and you're not playing well, why would you call a guy that's going to be running at you on Sunday a clown right before you play him when you have nothing to play for? That bothers me.
Because it's Lions football.
Well, yeah, but you know what's going to happen now? He's not going to take it out on Dominic Raiola because Dominic Raiola is only going to play football in 2 years. He's going to take it out on Matt Stafford, who, for the Lions, is probably going to be playing football in 2 years. That's what bothers me. The fact that Raiola has the kahunas to run his mouth.
Well, he's the big leader and captain of the team. Now, he's the center of the O-line, anchors the O-line, so he thinks he has the room to do that.
I have no problem with Dominic Raiola running his mouth. He's probably just trying to get the Lions revved up and ready to go. He's calling someone out, starting a little chirp session, because you know what? The Lions need it. We're playing some
uninspired
football.
You can't do that
when
you have 4 wins on the season. You know, you're the lowly Lions right now.
He's the captain of the team trying to get his guys going. If you've watched the Lions the past couple weeks, they've been playing very, very, very uninspired football, and they need something to get them going. Maybe Dominic Raiola is trying to push all the buttons. They might not be right, but at least he's putting an effort out there in order to do something for the Lions to get a spark, start playing with some intensity, and definitely trying to get out there and get a win, knock a team out of playoff contention, do something in order to keep on a high note going into next season.
You know, honestly, they're not as good as we thought they were going to be coming into the season. However, still have been competitive in a lot of games, regardless of the fact that they have underachieved. Besides for the Cardinals game, in which Stafford threw those two pick sixes. Okay, that was a blowout, an ugly loss. Besides for that, not many ugly losses on the season. Okay, we've been in many of the games up until the very end when the defense has seemingly fatigued almost every single time and clutch, you know, must-stop moments and haven't gotten the job done. So I think it falls a lot on that side of the football, too. And also, besides for Kelvin Johnson, who's been reliable offensively? And I'm also talking about Matt Stafford when I say that, guys. Some of the blame definitely has to be placed on his shoulders. He's not been nearly as good. Still lots of passing yards, but it's because of all the attempts he has to put up in the air throughout every single game. Okay, because we have no running game, no ground game to rely on. And as a result of that, Stafford and the offense have stalled all the time when we've needed the big touchdown, you know, in the big moments of games. And as a result, that's why we're right now this lowly team at the bottom of the NFC North Division, guys.
Yeah, I
so
really
there's
feel
a lot
like
of work for the Lions to do.
The loss of Jahvid Best, which we kind of put off to the side because we thought we were going to have this prolific offense, definitely came back to bite the Lions. This concussion that he has really hurt the team, and just the mere fact that our running game is completely just Mike LaShore. Yeah, Joyke Bell's put in a couple good games out of Wayne State, but the combination that we could have had with LaShore, Jahvid Best, and then obviously Kelvin Johnson and Nate Burleson, who's also injured on the outside, could have been a great offense this year, but injuries have definitely hurt this offense. This Lions offense. And another thing for this game with the Lions against the Bears this week, I really believe they'll play hard and try to get Kelvin Johnson 2,000 yards receiving this year. And that might be something that keeps the Lions in the game for the most part, but I really see them fading off at the end because the defense just can't handle this high-octane Bears offense.
And honestly, who cares about the individual record for Kelvin Johnson when you're winning four games? That's my opinion, and that's a sign of how lowly the Lions are, that outweighs the outcome of last week's game, Kelvin Johnson doing what he did, breaking Jerry Rice's single-season reception yards record. That's the highlight of our season, an individual record like that. No quality win, a bunch of losses, guys riddled by injuries, Jahvid Best, like you said, other guys, too, in the secondary. Defense has been horrible almost all year long. Injuries to wide receivers, Burleson, Ryan Broyles, Titus Young has been a mishap, okay, has been a head case. Even Joyke Bell has been on occasion. And we've got all of this trouble going on, and nothing's being done about it. It seems like Schwartz is not taking the right steps to move this team forward in the right direction, guys. And that's my concern with the Lions going forward with Jim Schwartz as their head coach. I don't think Kerecki's enough of a disciplinarian to turn this thing around for the Lions.
He's not. He's listened. What's that country musician they had earlier in the year come to their practice and play? I don't know, Dwight Yoakam or something, some horrible music. Rolling in his car and calling into the radio station swearing and not answering questions. He doesn't care. He's like the honey badger. He doesn't care. Jim Schwartz doesn't care, Vito. That's what Jim Schwartz, he doesn't care. He's the Schwartz. He's the man. He can do whatever. Well, guess what? When your team goes 4-12,
going to be 12 if they lose to the Bears on Sunday. Correct.
You have to draft in the top part of the draft again and bankrupt your team because you got no money to sign anybody because you can't win a damn game. You're not the Schwartz anymore. I'm concerned. I think this season, but season coming up, 2013, should, if he doesn't win, needs to be his last year. He needs to go.
And he's too cocky, like you said, Carrick. He's full of himself. And I think if he doesn't go this year, after losing double-digit games again next year, if that happens, he should be gone, and no doubt about it.
Yeah, and I think he needs to take Mayhew with him.
Yep.
That guy, you know, he could have had
Well, he's from the Matt Millen regime, too, We need a new face of the organization, both on the sidelines and in the front office, an established veteran who has done something in the past. And also, same with the next head coach that they hire.
It's all Bill Cowher.
I would love for them to hire an established veteran who's won things actually in this league in the past. Not a guy that was a coordinator and a good coordinator. I want a guy that's been a good head coach in this league already. Like you said, a Bill Cowher, maybe a Tony Dungy, or another established name like a Brian Billick.
Now you ready? Just going to shout.
Let's hear it.
I want Bill Parcells as the general manager and Bill Cowher as the head coach. That'll get things done. People will work for those guys. Nobody wants to work for Jim Schwartz. He's going to listen to country music and drink on the way to work. He doesn't care.
Look for the Lions to take a page out of the old Detroit Pistons roster there. Looking back in 2002, 2003, we had Rick Carlisle as our coach, much like Jim Schwartz, improve the team for the most part. Yes, we've gotten better from the Mariucci and Marinelli days. As much as it's hard to believe right now, we have gotten better. And then we go to an old established coach like Larry Brown, and we end up winning a championship.
Yep.
Look for the
yep.
Lions to do that. Get Bill Cowher in. Get someone that's been established, won something in their career, Tony Dungy, won a Super Bowl, and look at for them to take the next step. Yes, he's got us better. He's improved us immensely from where we were from the 0-16 season with Marinelli. Now we just need that one final step in order to get up and make the playoffs and maybe make a deep run. Who knows? We may end up winning a Super Bowl in one of these years.
And they got to improve the secondary, improve the linebacker core, and better do it as soon as possible in this upcoming draft with their first round, second round, third round picks. It should all, every single pick in those first three rounds should be defensive players, guys, and impact defensive players. Do anything to obtain them. Well, I don't care. Get a third round pick. I'm just saying in all those early rounds, all your early picks, they better be selecting impact defensive players. I don't want any offensive playmakers. No receivers, please. If you take any kind of offensive player, better be a lineman. And maybe I'll allow them to take a running back. Maybe a running back. But so I'm thinking defense first, and I'd much rather do that than even O-line or running back guys.
You know, they're going to draft Denard Robinson, and they're probably going to do it too early because it's the Lions. That's what they're going to do.
Oh, that'd be a great pick, right? That's a Matt Millen move right there. That'll definitely get the team moving in the right direction. You're getting desperate now. You're really reaching low, Carrick.
He's going to be – watch it happen. He'll be their starting corner next season.
Well, that's sad if that happens. Well, I mean, who is out there besides Rhino linebacker Manti Te'o from Notre Dame is a guy they'll probably, look at in the top five.
You know,
it looks like they will end up with a top five draft pick. But who else?
If you're a top five draft pick, Manti Te'o is the only guy that we need. You know, if they reach to get D. Milner's not a top five pick. I don't know if D. Milner's a top 15 pick.
Now, Kula, what's your take on all of this? Who should we select? I mean, if it's not Manti Te'o because he's already gone from the board, already been taken by somebody else, who do we turn to defensively? I mean, because it has to be a defensive player, right?
I believe we have to take a defensive player. There's no doubt. I mean, with the circus that's gone on Lions draft day for a long time, who knows who we'll end up with. But look at either Demontre Moore, defensive end out of Texas A&M. He's definitely put up some good numbers there at Texas A&M this year. Plays very hard all the time at DN. And D. Milner, obviously, the cornerback for Alabama. We need a corner. There's no hiding that. We need a lot of help on the defensive end. Those two have been my guys, or Jarvis Jones from Georgia. He's a very, very, very good, hard-nosed football player there out of Georgia. And he could definitely come make an impact right away on this Lions defense, linebacking core.
All right, well, enough of this garbage football team talk. I want to talk about something that's been widespread in the media right now, a media circus going on regarding this one name in the NFL. Not relevant to me, but relevant to somebody else on this show right now with the initials BK, and that is Brendan Kudla and Tim Tebow. Brendan, your turn now to moderate the great
Tim
debate of tonight.
Tim Tebow, obviously, one of my favorite players in the NFL, and definitely a man that I look up to as an individual for what he's done, what he's accomplished in his lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And I wear it on my sleeve. Everyone knows I'm a Tim Tebow fan, and I get a lot of flack for it. But really, I'm going to ask this question for the both of you two. Now, do you believe that Tim Tebow deserves a second chance? And why? Why or why not? Do you think he deserves a second chance? And why not week 17 when Greg McElroy goes down? Why do you go back to Mark Sanchez if you are Rex Ryan, who has four more interceptions than he does touchdowns this year? It really just does not make sense to not give Tim Tebow the start in week 17. Vito, we can start with you.
Well, honestly, Tim Tebow is not an accurate, good enough NFL passer. Okay, he has the intangibles of a great guy with great character. I love the guy, his Christianity, his religious beliefs. But he is not a good enough NFL passer to start on an every week basis. However, he probably should have gotten the chance to start here. When you're turning back to Sanchez, okay, Mark Sanchez, a guy who already has turned the ball over millions of times, okay, the most turnovers in all of football. So you're starting the worst quarterback right now in the NFL that you can possibly start. So why not just give Tebow another chance to start to prove himself in the final week of the season when there's no playoffs on the line for the Jets, okay? I know Tebow really hasn't done much this year in any chance he's gotten. However, it's been so limited, such a small sample size, how can you say he's been truly given an opportunity to prove his worth? You can't say that, which is why if I was Rex Ryan, I would have gone with Tebow over Sanchez in this week, the final week of the NFL season, even though he is not the answer for them as their franchise quarterback of the future. They should move on from all these guys. Just cut ties with every single one of them, including Greg McElroy. Move on, go in another direction, draft a young quarterback, or sign a big name on the free agent market who's available this offseason. That's what the Jets have to do if they want to get rid of all this attention, all this unnecessary drama, okay, and horrible play at the quarterback position, which is a position you need a good player to be playing at for your NFL squad to have a chance to compete on the highest level, to win Super Bowl titles. And none of the guys at QB on the depth chart right now for the Jets are Super Bowl caliber quarterbacks. And that's my take on Tim Tebow in the situation right now in New York for the Jets and Rex Ryan.
Eric, what do you think about Vito's opinion right there?
I disagree with him. I love Tim Tebow. I like to watch him. I think he is the greatest college football player of all time. He led Florida to two national title games, two championships. He almost won two Heisman trophies. He's got one Heisman trophy as a sophomore.
That's everything he did in college, though, Carrick. We're talking about the NFL now.
I don't care.
The highest level of professional football.
Did he not go to the playoffs last year?
I agree. That's why he should have gotten a chance. But how he's not a Super Bowl caliber quarterback, though, and never will be a great or elite franchise passer. Never will be.
He doesn't need
he's
to
very
be.
Average.
He needs to get the ball 10 yards to the tight end. He doesn't need to be an elite passer. But not every NFL quarterback is an elite passer.
But the best
almost
all the best teams have one, though. Think about it. The team that can win a Super Bowl this year have one.
But not every NFL Super Bowl champion quarterback has been a great passer.
No,
look
you're right.
Look at for the Ravens.
Look at Ben Roethlisberger.
That's one case.
Ben Roethlisberger is an elite passer. He's
better. He's elite. He can be elite. He's much more elite than Tebow.
The best passing Ben Roethlisberger's done in his career was in a bathroom stall at a nightclub. Okay, that's the best passing.
Derek, he's won two Super Bowls for a reason. I don't think Tebow has yet.
No, but
I don't think bashing Roethlisberger is the right thing right now.
No.
He can pass. He's definitely a better passer than Tim Tebow is, and there's really no debating that. However, I would like to talk about just Tim Tebow and his habit of winning. Everywhere he's went, he has won games.
How about this year, though? I know he hasn't started football games at quarterback.
He hasn't been given the chance to win games. He took over a 1-4 uninspired Denver Broncos team, brought them to the playoffs, and beat the highly favored Pittsburgh Steelers coming in to their stadium, coming to take over at Mile High. And Tim Tebow
Ryan
said
Taylor
no,
wasn't playing
in overtime.
Ryan Clark wasn't playing. Got to remember that, too.
I do remember Ryan Clark wasn't playing. However, you can't underestimate the ability that Tim Tebow has of winning football games. Yeah, he's not the best passer. That's understandable and definitely well-documented. But why not give him a chance when your team is a lackluster team like the New York Jets? The media makes fun of them, calling them a circus with Rex Ryan. Why do you not give him a chance and let him come in and win football games? That's what he does. Yeah, he's maybe not the most accurate passer. He might not throw the best deep ball. It does not matter. He wins games. And as an organization, what more can you ask for than winning football games?
Well, honestly, why did they trade for him if they weren't going to use him as their starting quarterback at some point in this season?
Rex Ryan is crazy.
I don't get that at all, guys.
Because Rex Ryan wanted to use him as a little media darling. He was never going to put him in the game. That's the worst part about it. He could have went to Jacksonville when their starting quarterback and been happy at home.
He didn't want to face the New York media. Okay, he didn't want to hear all the critics out there bashing him for his decision to go with Tebow as their starting QB in New York. That's the reason why I believe he didn't go with Tebow. But at this point, when you have nothing else to play for, why not just start the guy? Give the guy a chance. I mean, he's a great guy, good character and everything, and he did all that he did with the Broncos last year. I know he wasn't great in doing so, but he still did great in those late fourth quarter situations, leading his team to victories. And for all those weeks straight, too, as a Broncos QB.
Yeah,
and the chances have been
there.
Horrible on top of that. Makes no sense to me, guys.
Tebow's probably kicking himself for making that decision to go to the Jets over the Jacksonville Jaguars because he had the option to pick either one. He thought the best winning chance in winning a Super Bowl would be at New York, and he really...
Well, probably still better. I'll give him that. Better than Jacksonville. He is right
definitely
with that.
A better chance than Jacksonville. However, he wasn't given the fair shot. Rex Ryan, I really believe, made an incorrect decision by not giving the chance. I'm sure Carrick agrees. And it's for what it is. It's a learning experience for Tim Tebow, and it looks like now he's headed off to Jacksonville and seen what he could do and taking his talents to South Beach, I guess.
Well, he's not going to do crap there, though. I mean, he was helped out in Denver a little bit. I guess he has Justin Blackmon in Jacksonville who's been playing great of late. And it looks like he could be an elite wideout. But, you know, in Denver, he had that great ground game and had Demaryius Thomas, Decker, Stokely, all these guys that could catch the football and their great defense on top of it. He had a well-rounded game where the Jags had the running game with MJD, and that's about it. And also Blackmon, like I said, but he's still young, okay? He's going to have some bumps and bruises along the way and some slumps in his game because he's not well-rounded enough to say that he is an elite wideout, a go-to guy that can be your number one wideout. They don't have that truly in Jackson besides for maybe Blackmon. And in the ground game, after that, you're at a loss of words for describing what's very good on their team that can help Tebow and that Jaguars team of next year win football games and get into playoff contention after not even coming close this year.
Let's not go off the deep end here about the Broncos wide receiving corps. Obviously, they're playing very well right now, but that's definitely a testament to Tim or to
Peyton Manning.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning makes everyone a lot better. And the fact that the running game last year was so dominant for the Denver Broncos, it really opened up opportunities for Eric Decker and Demaryius Thomas to get big gains and show up in the media scoring touchdowns. I'm really not sold on both of their abilities. Obviously, Demaryius Thomas has a huge upside. With the help of Peyton Manning, they're going to be big names and scoring a lot of points. But I really give all the credit there to Peyton Manning. And looking at Jacksonville, Tim Tebow will have the pieces down there. Don't forget about Maurice Jones-Drew. He's definitely a great running back and a couple-time Pro Bowler down there. Justin Blackmon will emerge. And the constant running game, taking time off the clock and giving the defense a breather, that'll definitely help them keep their breath and keep animated.
But MJD now,
on the field,
he has to bounce back now from injury, too. He's a little guy. Will he bounce back and be as healthy and effective as he has been in the past? You know, can he still be an elite rusher at his size going forward? Because, you know, once running backs in the NFL hit the age of 30, which he is nearing now, you know, guys go on the downside, or at least hit the downside of their career. And that might be a worry or a major concern now going forward for the Jaguars organization. Think about that, though, too. And they don't have the defensive playmakers that the Broncos do right now and did for Tebow last year when he was there as their starting QB. Also have to take that into account.
Yeah, he is turning toward the downside of his career, but I feel like he could be rejuvenated with the help of the running game that Tim Tebow brings along with himself. Those two together could be a dynamic tandem and definitely win a couple ball games. I'm not saying Jacksonville's going to make the playoffs right away first year that Tebow gets down there. He's going to have to work with the guys and become a better team and just help Jacksonville become a better team before they could even be thinking about playoffs or Super Bowl. That's definitely way down the line for this two-win Jacksonville Jaguars team.
Now, Carrick, I want to ask you something here. You're still on the line with us, right?
Yep.
Okay. Now, do you think that Rex Ryan maybe did not start Tebow at quarterback this year, also due to the fact that they had no true weapon for him to go to offensively in the passing game after Santonio Holmes went down with that injury, and also defensively with, you know who, Darrell Revis going down with another severe injury in the beginning of the season, just like Santonio Holmes, and after that, not much being left for the Jets on either side of the ball. Do you think that was a factor for Rex Ryan with why he did not start Tebow after that part of the season when obviously he could have with how Mark Sanchez struggled? And then McElroy did too when given the chance to start this year.
No, he was afraid to start Tim Tebow. And that's too bad because Tim Tebow would have won, because that's all Tim Tebow knows how to do. He's never lost. He doesn't know how to lose. He's never going to start losing. I know it's the stupid, some of the worst logic you've ever heard, but ESPN thinks it's true. You know, everyone in the free world thinks it's true.
He was magical last year. But can he do that again, really?
But that was the great thing about it. I read his book. The kid's never lost in his life.
Yeah, but you're talking about high school football and college football at Florida. I know what he did last year, but that could have been a magical one-year wonder for him, a fluke season, too. And that's what all these pundits out there are worried about. And teams, you know, front office executives, why they're wary, very leery when looking at him and deciding whether or not to go after him, now that it looks like he will be available this offseason.
You know, if he's available, the Jackson Jaguars should sell the farm to get him. Because they'd sell so many jerseys, they'd sell tickets.
Oh, it would be great PR, like you said. It would definitely work for Jacksonville, because he was a hero in Florida for the Gators. You know, two-time Heisman winner, two-time national title winner, too, at Florida. So perfect move for them. Because honestly, Chad Henne and Blaine Gabbert are not much better. And I don't think Gabbert's better. I think Henne, though, is better than both of those QBs. And I think you also said that, Carrick, earlier with me when discussing Tim Tebow.
Yeah, I can't get enough of the guy. There's a saying, I probably don't know it right, something like hate the sin, love the sinner, something like that. That's how I feel Tim Tebow's off the field BS. You know, I don't like it. I think it's weird. It bothers me, but I like him because he wins. I like to see winning. I enjoy it. It makes me feel good. I like to go to bed knowing that a quarterback from one of my favorite college football teams is a winner, and the fact of the matter is he doesn't lose, ever. And I don't think he could probably take Jacksonville to the playoffs right now.
Please. They don't have the defense that Denver had last year, man, and they didn't have MJD all of this year, whereas the Broncos had a healthy Willis McGahee all season long last year, too.
There's a large difference between Willis McGahee and Reese Jones.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if MJD bounces back now. He was out for a large portion of this season. I know he's still young enough to bounce back, and he's been an elite rusher in the past. But you know what injuries do to running backs? And once they hit the age of 30, which, like I said, he is nearing, and then at his undersized stature of 5'9", I believe, too, you never know when the injury bug might derail the rest of his career, guys.
Very true.
That is a very good comment there, V.
Now, defend your boy Tebow real quick here, Brendan, before we end the show tonight. What are your last comments regarding him?
He's just a born winner. That's all I got. There's nothing more you can say about him other than he wins football games, and that's why Jacksonville's going to give him a shot. Yeah, Chad Henne might have a more prolific arm and can throw the deep ball, and he's definitely a more accurate passer, but his track record in the NFL is nowhere near what Tim Tebow's is. Yeah, Tebow may bring a scare to some public relations guys not wanting him to go there because of all the media influence that he has. But in Jacksonville, they need it. They're going to sign him. They're going to give him a lofty contract because that's what they're going to need to do to reel him back home. And when they do, they will reap the benefits. It may take 2, maybe 3 years. We'll check them to be in the playoffs one of these days and make a deep run in the playoffs and hopefully be able to take home that Super Bowl so I can brag to everyone that I knew Tim Tebow was going to win the Super Bowl.
Uh-huh. And you've been on the bandwagon since day one, right?
Freshman year. Yeah. BCS Championship, Chris Leak was the starting quarterback. Tim Tebow came in through that jump pass, and I was a fan ever since.
Now, guys, I think we all agree. We're all on board with the fact that Jacksonville is probably the best landing spot for Tebow in the offseason. I think we can all agree on that one. Now, Brendan, one last question before we end the show tonight. Skip Bayless. What do you think of him? Are you a Skip Bayless defender?
I do not agree with 99% of the things that Skip Bayless says. I'm often on Stephen A. Smith's side. However, when it comes to Tim Tebow, I believe he's exactly right. He may be a little bit over the top with how much he supports him and everything that he does, but go for it, Skip. Hashtag free Tebow. Let's go. Let's get him to Jacksonville. Let's go to the playoffs.
Now, I bet Skip Bayless would love to hear that we're talking about him right now because he's all about himself. He loves hearing himself talked about, and that's why he does what he does on First Take, in my opinion, guys.
He may do that, but with his constant defense of Tim Tebow and his love for the man and football player that Tebow is, all for you, Skip. Listen in, Sports Talk Soup right here every Thursday. We're here for you.
Yes, yes, the definite Skip Bayless defender on the show with us, and also Tim Tebow defender along with Skip. Brendan Kudla, the voice of Elma College Basketball. Thank you very much for your time tonight. And also, Carrick, thank you very much for yours as well. Have a great night, guys, and we'll talk to you next week, perhaps. And also, thank you to all the listeners who tuned in tonight's podcast. Hope you all enjoyed it, and hope you all tune in to next week's edition of Sports Talk Soup as well, which should be next Wednesday night. If any changes do occur, though, with that time and day for the podcast, make sure to check out our Twitter page, at Vito Jerome, on Twitter. And that is all. Happy holidays. Happy New Year, guys. See ya, and talk to you again in 2013. Good night.